Hello and welcome to our October teleseminar. As always, I attempt to do a seminar that's motivational and educational at the same time. My ultimate goal is not only to teach methods or systems that I've learned that I use and practice on a daily basis in my schools, but I want to motivate you to do better for not only your school, but for yourself, both financially, spiritually, and physically. So making the transition from small school to large school could be as easy as you want it to be if you follow specific systems in the direction that you want to go, or it can be as difficult and out of reach as you can imagine it. Positive motivation is easy. People such as Tony Robbins have dedicated their entire lives towards helping others, and he has helped millions of people. But unless the student is ready, the teacher will never appear. And I'm amazed at how much I say this quote, yet people stare at me as if I had two heads. You know, but then again, the quote in itself giving me the answers to the reasons why people look at me as if I had two heads. That's simply that they're not ready to hear or do what's necessary, and they can't see clearly because this is a time in their lives where maybe the actual answers are not clear to them due to their development stages. So when someone hits rock bottom, be it an alcoholic or a drug addict, they have to have been to the pits of hell and back in order to make changes in their lives. At times, people will tell them exactly what to do, and they simply don't hear the teacher. So it's clear to people when they're at rock bottom and they're really thirsty for the answers to really make a change as to their lives and their finances and so on. That's when they're ready. Quite often, we are not in a bad enough situation to make changes. Tony Robbins, again, talks about the two things really people desire in life, and that's to experience pleasure and to avoid pain. Obviously, experience pleasure is avoiding pain. I said it twice that way, but it is avoiding pain. But quite often, sometimes what people do to avoid pain is they do things that are short-term pleasurable items, like, overeating, indulging in drugs and alcohol, sitting home on the couch, watching movies, hiding their responsibilities, hiding from their responsibilities so that they can experience pleasure. But of course, that this is short term. So what I'd like to do is first I want to start off by saying that martial arts to me has taken on an entirely different paradigm. And it seems that I've spent a lifetime figuring out the pieces of the puzzle in order to run my school, teach exciting classes, develop a dynamic curriculum in which it's engaging for students, challenging, and life-altering. For nearly 17 years, I've been teaching thousands of students, and I've promoted close to 200 black belts within my schools. And I have about 125 active training black belts right now in my roster. The unique changes that I've found in the business is more so about and I find this, it seems to be interesting because the majority of people, some students come to my school for a specific martial arts style, while others come to the school for mental benefits. I had an interesting conversation with a parent of a 7-year-old in my school recently, and the parent was a bit concerned with her child. He's a young boy, complaining that he got hurt in class. Interestingly enough, I taught the class, and I'm very aware of all that goes on while I'm there. So this parent told me that during grappling, another boy, a bit larger in weight and size, sat on him and hurt him. Of course, for those of you that know grappling or jiu-jitsu, this is referred to as the top mount. In our system in Japanese, it's called tate shiho. I witnessed this happening, and the boy was put in an uncomfortable situation at most. The minute, even though I knew it was a bad situation, he complained and he tapped on the mat, and I stopped the match, even though that I knew it wasn't something that was dangerous. But the story gets better because I told the mom at this time that what happened is martial arts. Sometimes you're put in uncomfortable situations, that the martial arts are a contact activity, and that the chances of a child getting hurt, although very minimal, they're real. This is a contact sport just like football. She looked me in the eyes and said that she thinks she needs to reevaluate keeping him in our school. The good thing is she did. But the answer is that she shed some light on even the perspective of why people are coming to the martial arts. I spoke to the same parent about the self-defense application. She said to me that she wasn't concerned with any of that, that her child attended an amazing school. There was no violence in the school. It was a private school. And as most of you probably know, or you may be rolling your eyes, that what she was saying is that she has no desire to worry about self-defense. She's kind of living in this lifestyle where she doesn't think that that's a concern of hers. So self-defense wasn't her concern, but learning how to spar or grapple wasn't a concern. So what was her concern? She clearly told me that this was a fun activity for her son, and that was it. She really, truly didn't put any essence on the trials of learning, our curriculum, the challenges that they would come against, and so on. So long story short, her goals are entirely different than mine, but hey, she's a parent, and she's paying, and she's happy. Maybe one day, in this situation, the teacher will appear and she'll change her concept of what's going on, but my concept of the martial arts is not barbarians in battle, you know, beating each other up, but as teachers, we have to realize that we're not only teachers of the physical skills, we're considered, you know, last resort tactics for self-defense, but we're also guardians of helping others improve their lives. And the issue here is that many school owners can't do this for themselves. You know, they're in a situation where, you know, the money is not there, they can't keep the lights on, the school is not growing, they're caught in this kind of situation where the growth is not going to happen. So as most of you know, I help people at growing their schools. The difference between many are not only the desire to get it done and achieve their goals, but the what I call stick-to-itiveness of the actual goal. So many people, frankly, are too busy to be successful. This is something that I came up with not too long ago. It's a quote, they're too busy to be successful. And I know last month I spoke about that a bit from what I see on my consulting calls and also clients that have enrolled in my Taking It to the Next Level program. I find that the reason why people quit a consulting program, close their schools down, is that they're not using the material that's available to them. In fact, when I speak to school owners, many of the times I give them homework assignments, which I'm going to give you guys a little later, and a good majority of the time, by the next time I talk to them, they haven't done anything that I've asked them to do. So it's interesting to me that, you know, even though that people are in desperate need of change or they're in desperate need of having something go a different way, they don't do it. For example, I had to, in my personal consulting, which I do one-on-one, I had to go and actually fire two of the people that I was doing personal consulting for. And let me repeat, not one, but two of these clients that were paying me $1,000 a month for me to mentor them, I had to stop mentoring them. And I fired them, or I stopped, maybe it sounds better, stopped working with them for their own good, because even though they were great people, they were well-intentioned, but they didn't do what they were supposed to do, and I felt that I was taking their money. So as a consultant, I should be an asset. One of my other clients who's doing tremendously well on the Elite Consulting, his name is Chuck Giangreco, he said to me that I'm an asset, not a liability, that he believes that this to be a very good thing and that my costs are an asset, that he's made much more profit over what I've taught him. So what are the most imperative systems in order to be successful in business? That's the question. First and foremost, I'd have to say that there are many philosophies in business. In order for me to be clear in my answer, I want to first explore some of these theories. The first being that of a person who is debt-free, one that has no debt on their credit cards, mortgages, etc. This is a philosophy that some people strive for. The other one is a person who uses debt to their advantage, you know, mortgages on banks and owing the money to the bank, but knowing that they have X amount of bills per month, and they have all these bills owed to people. Sometimes that turns people's stomachs, like my mother, for example. She cannot have a bill. She loves to pay everything off ahead of time, but quite often she works herself to the bone in order to pay her bills. But people who are comfortable with debt basically find their overhead, and let's just say, for example, it's $2,000 a month. Now they know that if they make $4,000, they've made $2,000 profit. As long as they can continue that profit margin, they're going to make, you know, a good amount of money a year. So the idea we're speaking about is simple. What works for you would be something that, you know, is a personal issue, and you have to make sure that you take advantage of either being debt-free or having some debt in your lives. And they're also – there's a philosophy that I find quite often in the martial art business that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The other group of those people who are always on the other side of the spectrum, always reinventing the wheel. I don't mind people improving on ideas, existing ideas, and making them their own, but quite often people, they take things that they don't need to change, and they change them just so that they could put their stamp on them. And I find that this is a big problem with developing systems in your school. The goal is to take what works, put it into action, and then move forward with it. Once you gain some kind of hold or momentum, it's imperative to put your spin on it or specifically style it with your expertise and your flair and personal flair, but you don't have to reinvent the wheel. The idea we're speaking about is simply what works, works, and you shouldn't waste time reinventing something that's not necessary. Our goal as martial artists is to work hard, but work smart. Again, remember, people are often too busy to be successful. Now, let's talk about some of the important things, and here are the most important things in my personal philosophy that is the success of a martial arts school. There are three areas. That's it, three areas. Of course, these three areas branch off into so many different areas, but the first and most number one priority is new students. Without them, you're dead in the water, and you'll eventually end up shutting your school. We could go over how to get them in a minute. Number two, existing students. If you don't maintain the students that you have, then you'll have the same result as number one. You'll eventually have to end up closing your doors. The third thing is administrative duties. Now, this could be anything from keeping attendance to entering your agreements with Member Solutions. The goal is to build your billing, of course, so that you have financial stability and you're capable of growing your school continuously. But with these top priorities, let's go a bit further. Number one priority, new students. And I'll read this. Maybe take some notes when you can, but you could always listen back to this on an archive. But number one, new students. This is easier said than done. What's necessary is to develop a marketing or advertising system that will continually yield new students. The goal here is to be consistent, though. I can't say that word over enough. I'm going to say it again, consistent, consistent, consistent. The reality is that it doesn't cost a lot of money. It just has to be consistent. Without a marketing plan or action plan, you won't get the students that you're looking for. Even the most ill-fitted marketing plan with consistent action will yield some results. So it's key to make sure that you have a group of what I call ninja marketing tactics, your ninja marketing arsenal in place at all times. The system of marketing depends on your dedicated hard work and determination. Heck, if you wanted to, you could get a clipboard and stand out a busy shopping center and talk to passersby and ask them if they'd be interested in coming in for a free trial class, and you'd still get results. So it all depends on what you need as a student base. For example, if you only desire to have 100 students, then this is easy. If you get out every single day for a month, you're bound to get leads. And if you continually do that, you're going to continually build up your school. The idea is to get out and meet 1,000 people. Ask if they're interested in what you do, and if not, if you could get their help by them referring somebody that possibly could be interested. This is strangers in the street. If they ignore you, you just move on and you get to the next interested person. Just by meeting people, you'll get results. Now, I'm not saying this is your marketing campaign. I'm just trying to say that even the most ill-fitted marketing plan will yield results if you're out there. Again, the word is consistency. Now, if you do this regularly, people are going to be coming into your school. And now there are a host of other marketing ideas, and I'm going to go through them real quickly. I've said this a million times on my consulting calls, but here they are real quick. You have VIP passes, buddy weeks, not buddy days, birthday parties, free and paid for, unbirthdays, meaning that you're giving away parties, not on a birthday, but for anything. A group of kids who want to come in, have a get-together, invite their friends, just for the sake of having a party to get people to taste your school, try out a class. You could do school visits, PTA programs, business appreciation, special seminars, special events such as movie nights, parents' night outs. You could give away free passes to your local school events for everybody who brings a buddy. You can meet with the Boy and Girl Scout events coordinators. You could do fundraisers, and you could go through your local paper, look at your newspaper as a way of giving you information rather than, you know, people are usually looking in a newspaper too because they're looking for a karate school. You should be going through that paper not to look to see if there are other karate schools advertising, but to find out how many fundraisers that are going on. Call up those people and offer free month passes to all the people that are doing fundraisers. So you're giving out a few hundred passes to all their invited guests. Hey, if you only get 5 or 6 students out of it that come and try out a class, it's 5 or 6 more that add on to your list. So it's important for you to get out there. Most people I talk to are still not utilizing the referral program either. This is something that I get hundreds of leads from a year, and we sign up hundreds of students a year. And I've talked about this on many of my teleseminars. It's also in the archived Member Solutions audio and articles. Now, this is imperative for you to put a referral program in place. I can't tell you enough that if you don't have it, then you're missing the boat on it. You can email me anytime, and I'll give you as much information as possible. Now, everything I just mentioned, and I'll go over them again real quickly, VIP passes, buddy weeks, buddy days, a whole entire week of buddy week, birthday parties, free and paid for, the unbirthday, when you give a party away just for the sake of a party and get people to try class, doing school visits, PTA, business appreciation, special seminars, special events such as movie nights, parents' night outs, giving away free passes to your local school events, like I said, fundraisers, Boy or Girl Scout events, fundraisers that are in the newspaper, local papers, you're giving out free passes, active referral program, most important, your referral program. Most people I talk to are still not utilizing this referral program, and I recommend you to go back into the archives. Now, everything I mentioned, these are all either no-cost or at minimum low-cost advertising. Secondly, you could think about low-cost advertising, which is, you know, advertising in the local paper, doing door hangers, having a television ad, or whatever there is available that you pay for. That's your cost advertising. And you should have a certain budget set aside anywhere from 10% to 15% of your gross income towards your advertising budget. Number two, the next set of systems that I recommend is about student retention. Most people I talk to really don't have a grip on their retention. The belief is that since they see faces and they're retaining students, but the reality is even with the Member Solutions retention numbers that they give to you is based off of your billing volume. So if you had 100 contracts today, next month you have 100 contracts, that means you have 100% retention. But it's not telling you that just because you had 100 yesterday and you have 100 today that you didn't lose 20 old people and put 20 new people in place. So what you need to do is look at the reality of who you're signing up. Let's say, for example, you're signing 10 people up per month and you do that over a year of time frame, that would be 120 students. If you started with 100, you should be at 220 students. That means you would have 100% retention. So if you're not at 220 students year-end, and let me go over that again because I kind of really quickly went through it. If you have 10 new people coming through the door a month, 12 months, that's 120 students. Let's pretend you started with 100. At the year-end, you'd have 220. That would give you 100% retention. So at the end of the year, if you're not at 220 students, then you're not retaining all the students, some old and some new. The worst mistake you can make is not watching who's coming in and out the door. The goal is to look at the signs, meaning the signs to see who is leaving, get the clues on what's going on in your school. With that being said, there are reasons why people come and go. Most importantly, it's not always your fault. You can't maintain every student. But the reason you have no control, there are people that are moving out of the area, they have sickness in the family, they're injured, or lack of money. Those things you have no control over. The students may or may not tell you the real truth, and when they leave, you know, but what you need to do is be careful that you're assuming that they're telling you the truth. For example, by looking at your stats, you can see, let's say, for example, that you lost 30 kids between the age of 3 to 5 in 1 year. That may give you an indication that your 3 to 5-year-old program is suffering and you have issues. The goal is to look deeper and possibly call and ask those parents to tell you the truth as to why they left. Also, the goal is possibly to get them back, but most importantly, to find the truth so that as you move forward, things will change. The stats are the key to your retention. You might find that out of the 3 to 5-year-olds that you lost, 30 of them, that 22 of them were girls. Now you might find that your curriculum might not be appealing to the little girl group, or you might find that the teacher that you have who's teaching the program might be scaring the little girls or the little kids. You never know. Maybe they talk too loud. They have, you know, a big beard. They're tall. They're scary looking. It all depends on how they talk to the kids. So the truth of the matter is that you need to look deeper and find out the real reasons and look at those stats. You can also boost your retention by improving your curriculum, adding more exciting drills into the class, getting your staff of your instructors to take an acting class or public speaking class, or as I may be so bold to say, work on their charisma. The reason people stay are simple. They're getting what they want and what they expect out of the program. So that means that they came for a reason and they're getting what they came for. Some people come, they have grand hopes, and then they find that what you sold them is not truly what they envisioned in their head, and they eventually end up fizzling out. Also, too, responsibility as far as, you know, they might want to become black belts, but they didn't realize how much hard work it is. So retention is the key. In our school, we have perfect attendance reward systems. We give out trophies. We give out certificates. We monitor their classes regularly, and so on. Number three, the last that I say that of importance in systems is administration. This is not just having a secretary and doing paperwork. The person could be a program manager, they could be a front desk person, or they could be a concierge of your school, meeting and greeting the parents as they come in. They could be the person who does it all. They could be the program manager, secretary, and concierge. The goal for this person is to link everything together. They are always talking to the students, the parents, and potential students. Their job is to follow up and follow through. Another thing, even in my schools, that is a big problem, is follow-up and follow-through. There are a host of things that should be that person should be doing, and here are just a few of them. And also, if you're not doing these, you're missing the boat. And here's a few, if you could write them down, and I'll repeat them. Number one, an administrative program manager slash concierge should be doing We Miss You calls, 2, 4, 6, and 10-week calls, birthday cards, birthday party calls, illness calls. These are for people who have been out for a while because they had a surgery or they had a shoulder injury or they got hurt in football. They should be doing upgrade calls, orientation calls, meaning when people first join, going over what you went over with them in the initial trial sign-up, you want to go over with them and reiterate again what they need to be doing, what they need to look forward to, what they should do, how to maintain their uniform, etc. They should be doing new trial calls, new trial follow-ups. These are for people that came in, tried out of class, and said they'd be back. And those are the ones that didn't sign up. The person who is the program manager slash concierge should be always mining for students, looking for new students, new ways, new ideas in order to get them in the door, such as the special events, the seminars, all the marketing tools that I talked to you about. Also, it's important for them, the program manager, to watch your money. If you can't do it daily due to your schedule, put the administration on it. Don't let them handle the money, but just have them watch it and report it to you, how much you sold in retail, how many drinks, how many special event sales, how much new tuition. If you set your goals, you'll be able to achieve those goals. So be careful, though, that you don't get too detached from the money, because I've had this happen to me where money was just keep coming in, and I found that I was just wasting money. And then I looked at my bank statements, and I looked at my financial statements, and I realized that there's a lot of things that I didn't even realize I was being charged for on my credit card because the money was just flowing in so quickly. So make sure you always watch your money, or you're going to lose your shirt, literally. So far, we have had people that, you know, in this business, or so far, let me rephrase it. So far, we've had school owners that have come to me and asked me questions and want to know what the one thing is that they could do to improve. What's the newest marketing campaign? What's the newest, idea? And very often I would say to them that it's not about the big one hit. It's about all the little things that make a difference. So the real goal is for you to go back over everything I just talked about. Take notes on it. Maybe when it comes out in the archives and listen to it. And stick to the basic functions you need to succeed beyond your wildest dreams. Now, again, I want to one more time repeat myself. It's not about big hits. It's about small hits. And it's about that one thing I talked about before, consistency. And follow up and follow through. Quite often, people are too busy to be successful. I talk to them today. I'll say I'll check with them tomorrow or a week from now, and they haven't gotten to the things that are imperative to the growth of their school. People may say, I don't do 2, 4, 6 week calls. But I have to tell you, I have people, clients of mine, that have changed the dynamics of their entire business just off that 2, 4, 6 week call because they're on the phone with their clients. They're getting a pulse of what's going on. They're talking about retention. If little Johnny's upset, he had a hard time in class, he wants to quit. He's on the phone consistently. They're on the phone consistently talking to their clients. They know what their clients are feeling and want. Also, making sure that you're taking that time to do We Miss You calls, phone calls, referrals, asking for referrals, and so on. Without these little things, you're never going to grow. And, Kathy, I have much, much more to go over, but I want to quickly, and I'm going to look online, too, if there are any questions so far, and I don't see any, if maybe I'm not reading it properly, but does anyone have a question right now that maybe they'd like to go over real quickly on what I've talked about so far? Can we open it up, Kath? I'm not sure if it has.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? I probably need to unmute them, don't I? I'm so sorry.
Okay.
I'm sitting here waiting for a response. Just a moment.
Yeah. Does anybody have any quick questions? Anybody
okay,
out
now
there
we're
at
unmuted.
All? Okay. Anybody there? Not at all? Okay, that's fine. You also could go online, don't forget, and you could email the questions if you feel uncomfortable. Last time we did this, we had a really good conference call. Last month, we had probably about 30-something members. So it's interesting to see. But let me continue again. We could mute you again, and I'll go over some more stuff, and then at the end, I'll open it up. So in order to break from, let's say, 0 to 100 students, it's all about mentality. You need to have a specific marketing plan, whether it be new ideas to grow your school or old ideas, it's irrelevant of what you're going to do. But the thought is, let's just pretend that you want your goal to get 100 students. If that's the case, then what I suggest is get a big piece of poster board. Write from 1 to 100 on the poster board. And start tracking all your new enrollments. Also, you could write on there, let's say you have 50 and you want 50 more, your goal is 100, then, you know, put those 50 on there, say active training, and then put 50 more lines so that you could add on new students. Now, with a large red magic marker, you're going to write all your new people. With a blue magic marker, you write all your old people. Take this list and start by adding those existing students and then the new ones. And then you could have a separate column for upgrades, a separate column for renewals, and another column for quit students. Make sure that you list the programs, too. Like if you have an A, B, and C program, one's a higher cost than the next, put them in the different columns so you could see where you're, in one glance, where your students are at. Now, your master plan is 100 students, so every day you have to ask yourself the question, are you working towards your goal? What did you do today? Now, today you're on the conference call. Remember my quote, you're too busy to be successful. You guys right now are on this conference call. That's a good thing. So I would say to you now, what are you going to do? What's your marketing plan to get out there and actually get a buzz going on your school? Could it be any one of those things that I mentioned, door hangers, VIP passes? How many special events are you going to do? Are you going to shoot for those birthday parties? Are you going to start asking for referrals? Or are you going to do them all? If you do them, now you could start tracking your results to see, and you move one step ahead every day towards your goal. Quite often, again, we get caught up what I call analysis paralysis, where we are so overwhelmed and inundated with all the day-to-day tasks, the administration, running it all ourselves, that we never get anything done. Now, I could attest to this because I usually have so many irons in the fire that sometimes I shoot myself in the foot. And right now I run four schools. And I should say I oversee four schools in Long Island. I have one in Bermuda. I also have a retail store that's doing over about, you know, 250-plus a year, 1,000. And I've built a real estate empire that has a few million dollars in equity. And I'm also a senior consultant at Member Solutions, as well as owning, taking it to the next level. The reason why I bring this up is not to brag, because if you listen further, you'll understand why. I really want to open your eyes to the dream big philosophy. It's okay to dream big, but you have to dream realistically big. Of course, anything is possible if you really work hard enough. But the real important goal is that bigger is not always better. So if right now, let's say you have 100 students and you want to gross X amount of dollars per month, it's not always about adding on new people, new students. It might be shifting your prices to a higher price range. It might be able to upgrade those people to a more exclusive, extensive program. It might be something that you should do that'll just add on and get you to the income goal that you want. If your goal is to teach thousands of people, right now you have to really start smaller and start with making sure that you're financially capable of doing what you want to do, live the dream you want to live the lifestyle that you want to live without being overtaxed, overburdened, and stressed. Many consultants will tell you, and they inspire you by talking about their successes like I did, but my overhead, monthly overhead, is in the five digits between payroll, expenses, mortgages. So to maintain the machine that I've built is sometimes awe-inspiring to some, but it can be stressful enough to the point where you'd want to quit to others. So a lot of the consultants will talk about their successes, but me, on the other hand, I want to tell you like it is and share my successes and my failures at the same time. I really want to give you guys some homework about how you can possibly reach goals that you have. But first, in order to reach the goals, you have to come up with what we call on my Taking It to the Next Level program is a Mabaroshi. In Japanese, that's called a vision quest or a vision statement. This is really what you want in life. And what are your goals spiritually, physically, mentally, and financially? Would you be happy with 200 students and a high profit or 100 students and a high profit? Whatever the number may be, you need to set goals on what you believe to be a life of abundance. By the way, with 200 students and the right tuition, you could be doing well over $35,000 to $40,000 a month. My smallest school is brand new, about 85 students around. It's doing probably anywhere from $13,000 to $16,000 a month, depending on what's going on. It's a great start by leaps and bounds, but we could continually keep on moving. So it's up to you to see what you want. Is it that you're looking to be, you know, a famous martial art teacher, or is it fame and fortune that you desire? You have to be honest with yourself. So I suggest to you that today is Wednesday. By Sunday, you've put together a list of what you believe to be a successful life. You write down what you desire, where you'd like to see yourself in, you know, next year, in 2 years, in 5 years, in 10 years, and then start setting out in realistic goals how you're going to achieve that. And every single day, you have to work towards that goal. Today, if you waste time and you say, I'll get to it tomorrow, that's a day lost. But if you do a little bit towards that goal, you're going to be that much further ahead in 6 months. So if you're a big dreamer, if so, that's terrific, but the goal is not to think in thousands. Trust me, I've done that with the thousands of students. It's really to set big goals and work towards those big goals in small increments daily. Again, remember the word consistency, follow up and follow through. The goal is to set your goal, put a map in place, meaning how you're going to achieve that, what's going to be the roadmap, where do you start, what's your middle point, and what's your finishing point, and set those goals. And really what you're going to do to put those systems in place, the systems are your retention, your the things that we spoke about, the, you know, 2-4-6-week calls, all those things are going to get you to the end result. It might not be a quick change, but it certainly could be a massive or drastic change within a year. And as long as you're doing it on a day-to-day basis, you're going to see results. It might not be tomorrow, it might not be in a month, it might not be in 2 months, but you're going to start to see things change. It's almost like a perpetual motion machine. Once it's started, you don't have to do much to keep it going. The idea is to have, you know, you don't want to be in the trenches every single day and kill yourself, which is another big mistake of school owners, but you want to learn how to delegate tasks, ask for people's help. Most often school owners don't ask for help. They do everything themselves in their school, and this stops their growth. They shoot themselves in the foot. It's a catch-22. You can't grow until you can – they usually say, I can't grow until I can afford to grow. So when I get more students, that's when I'll add on staff members. But quite often this never happens, so year after year goes by, and you're still in the same place that you were a year ago. Very often just asking for the help of students will be enough to buy you free time to either recharge or do other things that are more imperative to the growth of your school. Without this mentality, you're going to be stuck. Think about how many students would love to help you grow your school and move forward. How many of them would love to share in the glory of building something that they could be proud of? The first 6 years of my life, I did it all. I worked a full-time job running my own landscape construction company. I would get home, take a 30-minute nap, get back out, do another 4 to 5 hours of teaching a night. The amount of energy I used was amazing until one day I got sick. I physically got sick, and I couldn't do it, and I had to ask for help. And I was amazed at how many people stepped up, and this was something that I couldn't believe. Now 17 years have gone by, and I've had up to 23, 24 employees in 1 year working full-time, and I've built my schools to levels I've never imagined. So I suggest taking this time from now until the weekend to decide on who you are, what's your mission statement, what's your elevator speech. I talked about this a few conference calls ago. If someone bumped into you in an elevator and asked you what you do for a living, what would you say? What impression would you leave people with when you were done? Who are you? What is your identity? What kind of school are you? What separates you from everyone else? Are you a mixed martial arts school, or are you a traditional school teaching mixed martial arts? Are you only a traditional school? Do you teach life skills, life lessons? If so, how do you do it? Why would people be happy to hand over $1,400 to $1,800 a year in tuition to you per year? What are you going to do to change a student's life, or at least at minimum assist them in achieving their goals? What separates you from the competition? I'm not saying that other schools are only the competition. What about soccer, football, baseball, horseback riding, dance, all of those things? What makes your program essential to a parent and to students in their lives? And what makes you different? These are all questions you need to ask yourself this weekend. It's important because this is the master plan towards the goal. I know that a lot of people wanted to hear, you know, do this and do that. Here's a great idea, and you want to walk away from this conference call with one good idea, which I hope that you've gotten a number of them, and you want to know specifically in order what systems to do, which I did tell you. The most important thing is for you to realize where you're not pulling your own weight. What is it that you're lacking? What is it that you're not following up on? What is it that you know you could do better? Write that down this weekend. write it down on a piece of paper, and you don't have to change overnight because quite often that's not going to happen. But you do need, without a doubt, to make minor changes. Eventually, a year goes by, and maybe you're not doing any 2-4-6 week calls, let's say. And you start off by doing 2 a week. Maybe within a month you're doing 5 a week. Maybe within 2 months you're doing 10 a week. Eventually, now you're on a mission to every single week get your 2-4-6-8-10 week calls done. Maybe you're not asking for referrals. Maybe you're not talking about it during classes. Maybe you're not advertising it by mailing people postcards, doing referral contests, whatever the case may be. Maybe you're not doing any of that stuff now. So you start off in little steps. Maybe you talk about it just in class. Then maybe you design a postcard and you start mailing it once a month. Maybe now you do more regular referral programs. Maybe you have a beautiful poster designed by a graphic company and now you have it on the wall. Maybe in your welcome to the family packet, where when people join, you hand them a host of information, and now in that referral packet you could go, okay, this is what we do. This is how we work. These are our ways of referring people, and so on and so forth. And now it becomes a part of what you do and who you are. These are the things that, you know, slowly you start to build on. And you start to develop them into, and that's how they got their name, systems, because they wouldn't be a system if they weren't done regularly. They would just be an activity. And you need to plug it in. Write down on a list of paper how many things that you need to do on a regular basis. Again, I'm going to go back over in the beginning. Remember, we talked about the three categories, right? New students. Now, write that as a heading, new students. What are the things you're going to do to get new students through the door? Write it down. Are you going to do the VIP passes? Are you going to do the referral program? Are you going to do parent night outs? Are you going to contact the PTA? Are you going to do all of those things on a monthly basis? Two, existing students. Remember, if you don't maintain them, you won't have them. They're going to disappear. They're going to go in through the front door, out through the back, like the old cliche says, there's holes in the bucket. So what we need to do is start putting in retention systems. Start a perfect attendance reward system for people who come regularly. If they're allowed to come 2 days a week and they come 8 classes a month, give them a certificate. We have this and taken it to the next level where we have little trophies and we have a certificate, and we give this out to all of our clientele when they hit perfect attendance. If they do 3 of those in a row or 3 of them, period, then they turn their little trophies in and they get a bigger trophy. Once they've done 3 big trophies, that's a year's perfect attendance. They get a plaque and they get 2 T-shirts for the parents, 1 T-shirt for the child, a window sticker for the car. This is a system that we follow on a regular basis. Believe me, it's become so important to people that this month, September, that had just passed, we had a few school closings, we had a fundraiser, we had the holiday weekend and so on. And people were asking us, listen, we only were able to get there 11 times, not 12 this month. Are you going to do anything? Can we do a makeup? Are you going to give us a break because you were closed 3 times? So we actually bumped our perfect attendance from 12 down to 10. But people, the key is people want this so badly that they will ask us about it. Their kids look forward to getting these rewards. So what is it that you're going to do on your next heading, existing students for retention? What are you going to do to keep them inspired? Just last night in my school, we had the world-renowned kickboxer San Shu champion and mixed martial artist Kung Lee in. It was a free seminar to all my students for Black Belt Club members and Masters Elite in my program. They didn't have to pay a penny. They just had to come to the seminar. It was amazing. We had 70-something adults. We had about 60-something kids. It was just crazy, and we did 2 segments, one for the kids, one for the adults, so there was different content. But imagine having Kung Lee walk through the door and do a seminar. That's stuff that we do for our existing students to keep them motivated, to inspire them to train more, to want to stay. The third thing is administrative duties. What are the things you do on a regular basis? You need to write it down. Do you enter contracts every day or into your member solutions, or do you do it once a week? Do you check your finances? Do you check your delinquents? Do you, you know, look at the attendance tracking? Are you sending out We Miss You cards, postcards, all the things that we had talked about? That's another area. But you have to write down what you're doing. After you've done all that, now you can basically just follow up and see. So you have a daily list of what's going on and what needs to be done and so on and so forth. Anyway, this is just a few of the things that I think and I believe to be a part of being a successful, really successful, and when I say really successful, it doesn't have to be you know, like you see on the cover of all these magazines, you know, $90,000 a month, you know, 700 students in one location. You know, it doesn't have to be that. It's really about what success is to you. Ultimately, my levels of success have changed over the years. Initially, I wanted to have 15 schools, and I had schools in Costa Rica, Puerto Rico, Bermuda, Thailand, upstate New York, Michigan, all over the place. But you know what? I just got sick of maintaining those schools and motivating these instructors and traveling as much. So now I condense it down to 4 schools. And you know what? To be honest, I'd be happy with 1 highly profitable school where I didn't have to stress out every single day. And there are guys out there, if you look at the MSI All-Star Report, that are making crazy income, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 in one location per month. If you focus, it's just unbelievable what you can achieve. If you take it and you look at what you want and you set your goals and you do it in action and you hold yourself accountable, quite often that's what school owners don't do. They're the king of their own castle. So they could very often say, I'll do that tomorrow. I don't need to do that now. Who cares about that? So you need to have someone hold you accountable. And that's when I do my elite consulting, one-on-one consulting every week. A great amount of the time is about follow-up and follow-through, making sure that the school owner has to answer to me on goals that we've set together. Not answer to me because I'm really nothing, but I mean answer to someone so that they hold themselves accountable. Even myself, I have a mentor and a guy that says to me, did you do this and did you do that and what was done and what wasn't done? So it's imperative for us to, on a regular basis, keep on pushing ourselves in the direction that we're looking to go. Anyway, I've been talking for almost 50 minutes, so what I'm going to do is ask Kathy one more time to open up the lines, and I hear you did that, right? And
yes.
Anybody, let's talk a little. Does anybody have a question? Do they have frustrations? Most importantly, where do you find yourself, and where do you find your frustrations? And maybe I could give you some insight, little activities to do. We talked about the mission, your elevator speech. We talked about your vision of where you want to be, and we talked about different systems that it takes to get there. So what is it that you're having a struggle with? And maybe you'll help other people as well. Do you have anything
and
you want
Allie,
to talk about?
Allie, we do have a question submitted online from Jason from Boston.
Yeah, I can't see it, Kathy. I'm not getting it. I wonder why.
Oh, hit refresh? Did you hit refresh?
I did, which is weird.
I'm
in the Q&A. Anyway, tell me. What was the question?
Okay, well, Jason from Boston, his question is, he wants to know what your thoughts are on rotating curriculum for growth and retention.
Well, that's a good one. But you know what? I have a different philosophy on my curriculum is basically rotating within its level. Some people have what I've seen, and you know I've seen it done different ways, is that they have a rotating curriculum that is across the board, from let's say white belt to black belt. For example, a white belt today or this month could be working on a kata or a form or a movement that's from the blue belt level. And then they could, you know, do that, and then it rotates and so on. In my school, we basically have our curriculum set for our white belts. And then we rotate within the curriculum. For example, we have a stripe level and what we call Q level. So it might be broken down into 3 categories in the white belt level. And we rotate that curriculum within the white belt level. So let's say a person with a white stripe, white belt, no stripe, might get what takes 1 stripe. So we do rotate. I think that rotating curriculum is exciting to students, but you have to do it more condensed. You can't give them such a big spectrum. I know in my style, our movements progressively get more and more dangerous to perform. So we couldn't teach, let's say, a white belt how to do a specific, like a Shihonage shoulder lock, because they may tear the person's arm out of the socket. But I think that rotating curriculum is excellent, and I do believe that it's all about refreshing new ideas within the classroom so the students don't get bored. Although, another word we could use would be disguising repetition. You know, you could do a front kick 50 different ways. You could do it on the pad. You could do it on a hand mitt. You could do it in motion. You could do it in live sparring, and so on and so forth. So rotating the techniques taught and changing, you know, disguising repetition is imperative as well. So that's an answer to that question. And what was the rest of it, though? Is rotating curriculum, Kathy, what was the rest of the question?
It was just your thoughts on rotating curriculum for growth and retention.
Right. Well, then that's it. Yeah, I do believe that it's excellent, and I do believe without it, retention is about excitement. And I've spoken about this in a number of occasions in on conference calls and in personal consulting. If you were today right now to draw on a piece of paper a line from left to right, on the extreme left it said unsatisfied, in the middle it said satisfied, and on the right it said highly motivated, you have to try to categorize your students and see where they would be. If they're in the middle, in the satisfied category, you're doing a good job. The ones that are always slipping to satisfied to unsatisfied, those are the people that are eventually going to quit. I'm going to give you an example. I had a parent come in last night who is having some money struggles. His children have been with me for years. They're at the brown belt level. Probably within the next 8 months, they're going to be testing for their black belt. And he had said to me that with his financial struggles, he really doesn't care about bringing them anymore. He said he doesn't really care. He's not going to fight. It's not that his kids are demotivated. He just really, the financial stress is getting to him. And he doesn't care to renew them unless he could get a special deal. Now, I'm not willing to do a special deal, but I'm also not willing to lose these students. So I don't know what I'm going to do. But the question is, if those kids were highly motivated, and no matter what, that parent was highly motivated, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. So he's in the area of satisfied to unsatisfied. So what we need to do is stimulate excitement in all of our students and get as many of them. If we have 100 students, we want to have 40 to 50 of them in the highly motivated category where they're coming to every class, they're coming to every special event, they're referring people to our school. Now, what do we do to get them in that highly motivated section? These are all the things that we talked about, the 2-4-6-week calls, the We Miss You calls, the birthday cards, the birthday parties, the special events, the phone calls to, you know, keep in touch, the special meetings, the goal setting. All of that is what's going to keep these students highly motivated. And let me tell you, it's not easy. It's a tough job to do. So we have to work towards that area. Okay, anybody else? Any other questions? Okay. If not, then I'm going to kind of wrap it up because we have about 8 minutes left. I suggest to you now is to really look at that Mabaroshi, as I called it. That is the answer to where you want to be and what you want to do. What you want to do is, you know, work on what to you is really a goal. What is it that you want to achieve? What is it that you believe to be success in your life? And then set those goals out. Also, look at those three categories that we had talked about and write out what you need to do. In detail, you know, write out what you're going to do to get new students. And then put together, you know, don't just say, I'm going to advertise. That just doesn't work. When are you going to advertise? How consistent are you going to advertise? How many flyers, how many door hangers are you going to put out each week? How many postcards are you going to mail on your referrals? How many phone calls are you going to make? What events are you going to do? Who are you going to contact? So on and so on. This is what's important. And in order to achieve, you have to really, really, really work hard on setting those things out clearly. And once you do, you will achieve success beyond your wildest dreams. So with that being said, I'm going to give you my email address. It's Renshi, R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I, Ninja, @AOL.com. I'll spell it all out, R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I-N-I-N-J-A @AOL.com. Feel free to email me about any of the things I spoke about. I would love to discuss it with you, work with you, and I suggest getting on the phone with either myself or Kathy and doing one-on-one consulting. And then do it regularly. Don't just do a one-time thing and go off on your own, but do it regularly where you could literally kind of have either her or I kind of keep you in check a little and say, okay, we're going to give you some homework. This is what we're going to work on. We're going to check back with you next week and or in 2 weeks when you get on one of the other calls, and we'll discuss how far you've come. Heck, I think it would be cool if you talked to Kathy 1 week, she emailed me, and you talked to me the next week, and we work together at helping you achieve your goals and vice versa, so that we are there to help you. You guys, as school owners, just like myself, because I'm a school owner, in the trenches every single day, need to constantly be held accountable and work towards our goals. So let's do that. Again, you can email me anytime. Kathy, thanks so much again for monitoring this phone call. I'm really happy to be on here always. I hope some people listen to it on archive, and I guess talk to you real soon.